If you've got your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. Church, I mean, on Easter Sunday, you know how I am. I just, you know, when you come to holidays, I struggle with holidays when it comes to speaking because I feel like everybody's heard it all. And some things you need to hear again. You know, when Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he says, you know, for me to repeat the same things is not grievous to me, but for you it is safe. And it is safe, there's no doubt about it, to hear those things. But I always still like it for it to be fresh and like it for it to be new. It's just, you know, the Bible's not old, but sometimes I think if we're not careful, we make it old. But I want to give, again, the thought on the resurrection this morning. Church, I mean, when you think of chapters that in the Bible that are specific, I would say the first one you would think of is Hebrews chapter 11. What do we call Hebrews chapter 11? All right, call that the Hall of Faith, right? And then if I was to say Matthew chapter 18, what would you say on that one? Okay, and if you saw it, you would remember. But the whole, most of the chapters, Jesus is talking about, we call it the child text or the children text because Jesus is talking about children throughout all of Matthew chapter 18. There are a few chapters like that, Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. There are chapters like that that really stand out because they have one major topic or theme. 1 Corinthians 15 is that way. And that's what we call the resurrection chapter because Apostle Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church and he's saying, hey, listen, there's people in the church that says there's no resurrection. Let me set the record straight. And that's what today is. It's Resurrection Sunday. Church, I mean, the reason we, again, refer to this as Easter Sunday, but Resurrection Sunday, is because on the first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, the New Testament church began to meet on Sundays. The reason we don't meet on Saturdays is because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, and then the New Testament church began to meet on Sunday, and that's why we do the same thing. And so today is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is a remembrance that Jesus rose from the dead. And so that's really what it's about this morning. Now, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15. This whole chapter is about the resurrection. I'm going to kind of, I won't probably read the whole chapter. I want to read parts of it as we go through it this morning. And I want to talk about the resurrection this morning, all right? So I'm going to pray. Would you ask the Lord to give you something this morning? Heavenly Father, again, as we stop, again, to say thank you for the word. You call it, again, the bread of life. May we eat this morning spiritually. Help us have an understanding of this chapter. Lord, may we be thankful and grateful for our salvation. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you that he rose from the dead. Father, again, the key things of this chapter this morning that you want us to catch, help us not to miss this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, church, I mean, I'm going to go through the chapter with this morning. I'm going to actually outline the whole chapter. And I know you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, there's 58 verses in this chapter. And I'm going to do my best to run through it and kind of just pinpoint some things. There are groupings of verses. I don't know if you write in your Bible, but I mark my Bible as far as what those groupings are. And that's what I want to just kind of go through those groupings with you this morning as we look. The whole chapter, resurrection. All right, so I want to look at that. Now, I did all P's this morning. It's not quite like your Sunday school lesson, to be honest with you, but it's close. But I want to talk about these things. And again, just to help us understand it, okay? So in the very first part, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, we call these the gospel or the definition of the gospel. Now, I want to start with the premise of this chapter because that's what the premise, that's the focal point of this chapter. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, so let's look at your Bible now. Again, if you circle and underline, I think it'd be helpful here. But in chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? So in my Bible, I circle the word gospel, which I preach. Now, he's going to mention four things about the gospel here, right? As soon as he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Gospel meaning good news. What's the good news? He goes on to say, which first of all, I preached unto you. By the way, we ought to preach the gospel. Amen. I want to tell you, there's a lot of other gospels that people are using, but they're false gospels. There's only one gospel, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, which is mentioned in verse 3 and 4. And I want you to, again, you ought to underline death, burial, and resurrection, because that's what the gospel is. There is no other gospel. All right, look what he says here. First of all, he says, I preached it. Then he says, second of all, which also you've received. All right, now if you're saved this morning, that means you received it. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I was talking to Caden this week. He's in class right now. Is Brother Sister Sullivan on my right somewhere? No, right over here, I'm sorry. Everything's still blurry. But Brother Sister Sullivan, we were talking about Caden a little bit, and I hope you don't mind me using him as an illustration, but Caden was, they were wondering, you know, when he got saved. And so he came to school the other day, and I called him in and sat down with him. And he was really nervous when he was talking to me. I don't know why, but whenever you get called to the principal's office, what do you got to be nervous about? Anyway, he wasn't doing anything wrong. So I sat down with him, and I said, Caden, tell me about when you got saved. And I said, are you saved? He says, I know I'm saved. I said, so tell me about it. And he says, well, I can't remember when it was. Church family, our salvation is not based upon what you can remember the date or not. I hope you understand that. So many people start to doubt their salvation because they can't remember the day and the hour, all right? Church family, you just have to know that you're saved by when, or should I say by what you did when you accepted Christ your Savior. How many times have you heard me give my testimony? I was 11 years old, sitting in the fourth row back. Preacher preached on hell, scared me half to death. I came and sat on the front row. Someone opened the Bible, showed me that I was a sinner bound for hell, needing a Savior, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't know who showed me. Not for sure. I don't know the date. No idea. I think it's March of 1980. Church, I mean, my salvation is a no-so salvation because I remember what I did. I don't have to remember where I was or what the time was or what the date was. We had a guy in our church years ago. His name was Brother Shove, George Shove. And George Shove would give his testimony. And, you know, it kind of shook people because he could remember the color of the chair he was sitting in. Right? Maybe there's some of you like here, you just have just a good memory. Can I just tell you that your salvation is based upon your faith in Jesus Christ, realizing that you were a sinner and that Jesus was the only one that could pay for your sin, and you asked him to be your Savior. You trusted that he died on the cross for you individually. I'm going to tell you something, that faith in receiving, the receiving part is confessing. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my asking you to save me. That's the confession part. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt what? It's not just confessing, it's believing. So if thou confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
So our salvation is based upon a confession and a belief. The confession is the admission of my belief. What do you believe? Do you believe you were a sinner? Do you believe Jesus died for your sin? Then can I tell you, once you confess that to Christ, thou shalt be what?
Saved
from what? Hell, and of course our sins, which sends us to hell. So the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Let's just go ahead and point that out. But I'm going to keep reading if you don't mind. Verse 2, he goes on to say, by which also ye are saved. Church family, when he says by which, what is the which? The gospel that's mentioned in verse number 1. By which ye are also saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, what's the word? I circled died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was what?
Buried.
I circled the word buried, and that he what? The third day according to the scriptures. So the definition of the gospel from the scripture is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of who? Church family, people think they're going to heaven because they're good people. You don't go to heaven because you're good people, all right? Hey, church family, think for a second here. If God put all your good works on one side of the scale and put your bad works on the other, it's not I've got 10,000 good works and I only have 5,000 bad works so I get to go to heaven. This is not a cancellation.
Amen.
Do you know if you have anything on the bad works side, you can't get into heaven because only perfect people get to heaven? So how do we get there? Because of the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you got saved, you put on Christ righteousness. So when God the Father sees you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees Christ. So again, this idea of the gospel, it's only through Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, can I just stop and quickly say, if you in your mind have any doubt about your salvation, you ought to get that settled today.
That's right.
All righty? If you think that, well, Pastor, you know, when I know that Jesus died on the cross, but I guess I really didn't see it like that. Hey, can I just tell you, there are a lot of people who know and are going to celebrate Easter today, but they're not on their way to heaven.
That's right.
It's believing that you're a sinner, bound for hell, and that Jesus loved you and died for you. All right? So that's the gospel. So the premise we have that starts this chapter out on the resurrection is the gospel itself in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. But church, for me, the proof of the resurrection, look at verse number 5, and that he was seen of, who's the first person, or one of the people? Cephas being who? Peter. Peter saw him, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above how many? 500 brethren. These are the proofs, the people who had seen Paul's talking to the church at Corinth at once, of whom the greater part that remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And that he was seen of who next? James. Then of who? All the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of who? All right, Apostle Paul. All right, so all I'm trying to get you to see is that Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthian church, and he says, listen, there's people that are at the church at Corinth that are telling you there's no resurrection, that when you die, your body just goes to the grave. I want to tell you, people still believe that today. All right? You don't have to talk to very many people, whether you knock on a door or talk to people, that they think that it's just this life, and then after that, you know, we just all go to the dust. All right? I want to tell you, your soul's going to go somewhere because you have an everlasting soul inside of you.
Right.
You're either going to go to heaven forever or you're going to go to hell forever. Did you know the word purgatory is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible? But yet the Catholic Church has made an entire doctrine on how people are in purgatory and we've got to pray them out, give them out, talk them out. You can't get out once you're in. Alrighty? So it's heaven or hell. So the proof that Paul's saying is, listen, These folks saw him. I mean, Peter saw him. The 500 brethren saw him. The apostles saw him. James saw him. I saw him. But church, I mean, we can take Paul's word on it. Obviously, it's God's word on it. But we have something better than that. Can I just tell you? You have a spirit of God that dwells inside of you that says that Christ rose from the dead. All right? And the Bible makes that very clear. In fact, in 1 John, what does he say when he talks about the spirit that dwells in us? This is he, the spirit, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. All right? Hey, I want to tell you, I know that I'm saved more than ever before, before I was saved, because of the spirit of God that dwells inside of me. I know that that book is true. I know that Jesus died. I know that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. I know that he did it for me. Why? Because there's a spirit that dwells inside of me. It says so. Amen. Not only that, what's another proof? Now, Paul did not mention these in 1 Corinthians, but they're mentioned throughout the Bible. In John, the gospel, chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Amen. You know why we know that Christ rose from the dead? Because I got a book that says so. He said, I tell you, you're putting all your faith in that book. It's not just any book. It's God's book.
Amen.
All right? It's the word of God. It's the Bible. And again, that we can take God's word at it. So what's the witness, or what's the proof of that? Well, you've got the witness of the saints, you've got the witness of the spirit, you've got the witness of the scriptures. All right? Quickly, let's go on to the next thing. Not only do we see the premise in verses 1 through 4, but we see the proof of the resurrection, verses 5 through 11. Look at verse number 12 with me. Verse number 12. Just remember, if I was going to use a word other than, I mean, I think in your lesson I might have put the word prominent or prominence, I'm not sure. But what is so important, if I can use another word, what is so important about the resurrection? Can I stop? Thank you. Appreciate your permission. Hey, Lewis, how you doing, man? It's good to see you this morning. Sorry. Tim's under conviction. Pray for him. God bless. Amen. God bless you. Oh, well, go get her and come back now. Happy Easter. Is there anybody else who'd like to leave the auditorium? Not just joking. Hey, watch down for a second here. The premise here, or the importance of the resurrection, I had a person one time tell me, he says, well, it's not important that Christ rose from the dead, it's just important that he died on the cross. That is not true. I want to tell you why it's not true, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. And then in the farther part of this chapter, he's going to tell us why it's so important. But let's look at real quickly here. What is so important about the resurrection? Look at verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. All right, now church, let me think for a second here. There were people at the church of Corinth that says, when you die, you're done. Your body's just going to the grave. Nothing's going to happen. And Paul says, wait a second here. If we don't rise from the dead, then Christ didn't rise from the dead. Amen. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, look what he says next. He says in verse number 15, I believe, verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our what vain?
Preaching.
We're wasting our time, are we not? Hey, man, listen, we need to give the gospel to as many, this is preaching, we need to give the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. What's the gospel? That Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again so that they could go to heaven. He's saying, hey, listen, look, we're wasting our time preaching that. If Christ did not rise from the dead, look what else he says in verse number 14. He says, not only is our preaching vain, and your blank, what's the next one?
Vain.
Your faith is in vain. Just, I mean, what does the word faith mean? Okay, now again, I know there's lots of definitions, but faith is the assurance of something. It's what we use the word believe. It's our belief in something. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse number 17? He says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? Our assurance comes by hearing the word of God. What causes me to be assured that this is correct? This is the word of God. Now, can I just tell you that what we believe about salvation is useless if there's no resurrection and if Christ did not resurrect? So he says, why is it so important? It's important because our preaching would be in vain otherwise. Why is it so important? Because our faith in Christ would be in vain. Look at verse 15. Why else is it important? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. He says in verse 15, we're false witnesses. You know why this is so important? Why do we go soul winning? Why do we tell people about Jesus Christ? Brother Amias, how many got saved yesterday morning out soul winning? Yes, well, how many got saved in March? 19, and how many got saved yesterday? Four. Okay, so four people yesterday, people went out, knocked doors in the morning, and I can't tell you if there were people saved in the bus routes. This is just the soul winning crew. on a Saturday. Of course, they go out on Tuesday. But yesterday morning, they knocked on a door. Somebody came to that door and they asked them, hey, listen, you get a chance to go to church anywhere? And just to generate conversation. And then we eventually get to more important than going to church, know for sure you're going to heaven. Do you know for sure if you die today, go to heaven? And they answered, well, I think so, or maybe, or hope so. And then somebody got to open up a Bible and show them that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you something. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're false witnesses.
That's right.
Now, I want to tell you something. I was in town yesterday and had stopped at a restaurant, and the Mormons were there. They had the little elder tags on. My wife and I were driving, and we don't know for sure if Jehovah's Witness or Mormons, but saw another group of people look like Jehovah's Witnesses out. And I want to tell you something. There's a bunch of people telling people how to get to heaven a wrong way. So I want to tell you something. The resurrection is not true. We're no different than the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons. All right? But I want to tell you something. It is true. All right? Look what he says next here. Why is it so important? Look at verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Fallen asleep in Christ means they made a profession of faith that they were saved and they're dead. He says, hey, listen, all those people that you love, those grandmothers, those grandfathers, those parents, maybe the child, that they prayed and realized they were sinners and they're dead now, if there's no resurrection, then they're perished. All right? Just remember, I want to just tell you the resurrection is pretty important.
Amen.
The resurrection of Christ is pretty important. All right? And again, he's going to stress that in these next few verses. So we have the prominence or the importance of that is mentioned in verses 12 through 19. Just remember, I want you to look at the next thing with me. I want you to look at the purpose of the resurrection in verse number 20. Verse number 20, what was the purpose of the resurrection? Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the what? Now, church, remember that word first fruits is mentioned in verse 20 as well as in verse 23. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the what? First fruits. All right, now, church, remember, Paul is writing using this word first fruits because in the Old Testament, they had a feast of first fruits. The first fruits was that the first crop that would come in, they would bring before God and they would wave it before God. And it was their guarantee that there would be a future crop coming. Now, church, I mean, you know why Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead? Because he's the first fruits and we're the future crop coming.
Amen.
All right? Look what he says here in your Bible again. Look at your Bible. Verse number 20. I'll read verse 20 again. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death. Church, I mean, who started death? What man? By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Who's the man that came the resurrection of the dead? All right, that's mentioned in the next verse, both Adam and Christ. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even as so in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward what? They that are Christ at when? At his coming. Church, you believe the Lord's coming back?
Amen.
I believe he's coming back. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, the same chapter, it says that in the twinkling of an eye, Trump's going to blow. 1 Thessalonians number 4 talks about the shout being given, of course, the dead in Christ rising first. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful on this Resurrection Sunday the Lord come back?
Amen.
Brother fellow, you could finish the service without us. Are you going to heaven?
Yes, sir.
Are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Shall we ask your wife if you're saved? Is he saved?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. All right. Now, church, I mean, we're not going to be here. The Antichrist can have this building, amen? We're going to be out of here, all right? Rapture is going to take place. Trumpet blows. Shouts given. I think the shouts come up hither, according to Revelation 4. Shouts given. The dead in Christ rise first, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Jesus is not going to set foot on this earth at the rapture. He's going to meet us in the sky and take us back to heaven for the judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. During that 7 years, tribulation period takes place on this earth, and we come back for the second coming of Christ. Christ sets his kingdom up, the millennial reign of Christ. We're going to live and reign with him for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan gets loose from his prison one last time. Battle of Gog and Magog takes place. Fire comes down from heaven, destroys them all. Satan is cast into the lake of fire forever. New heaven, new earth comes down from heaven, which I think are the mansions, according to John 14, where the mansions are going to come down. And then we're going to be with Christ forever. Amen? Boy, don't you like the end of the story? It ends well. Amen. But church, I mean, what is Christ saying here? As far as Christ's resurrection, it's proof that we're going to have a resurrection. That again, that dead in Christ, we're going to meet the Lord at his coming. All righty. So what is the purpose of the resurrection? It's a picture of what's going to happen for us. All right. So we have here again, the purpose of the resurrection. Verse number 23, of course, is our resurrection. Look at verse 24. Again, in verse number 24, it says this. It says, then cometh the end when he, Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he, what's the word?
Must reign.
Now, church family, if he is going to have all authority and all power and he must reign, there's still something that has to be conquered for him to be all powerful, and that is death. All right, look what he says here in the next verse here. Verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what?
Death.
All right, is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, meaning death as well. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be what? In other words, God is all powerful, and we believe that. But church, I mean, can I tell you, he's not all powerful if he can't conquer death. So Paul's writing the Corinthian church, says, listen, there's people in you that says, hey, there's no resurrection. Well, if there's no resurrection, then Christ didn't resurrect. And if Christ didn't resurrect, he's not all powerful because he's got to conquer death to prove that he is all powerful.
Amen.
All right. So again, there's a purpose in that. Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our resurrection as well. All right, we're continuing on. Y'all still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I know we're kind of doing a quick Bible study this morning. Look at verse 35, next thing. Verse 35 through 50 is the prophet of the resurrection. Hey, you're going to like this one, all right? Look at this, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, is that not a question for us? What are we going to look like when we resurrect? Let's hope not like we look now. All wrinkled and tired and I just hope my glorified body is a whole lot better than this. All right, so Paul's going to describe the glorified body, all right? So if you're all wondering what you're going to look like, you're about to find out, all right? Look what he says here in verse number 36. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, is not quickened except it first what? So he's making parallel to the death and resurrection of our own human bodies. Verse 37, he's going to illustrate now with farming or seeds. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. All right, Brother Barnabas, you're the only farmer I can think of right now. All right, so you're my farmer, all right? His dad liked farming. And so Brother Barnabas, he's got his own little farm too, all right? He grows crops and these little animals and got children like animals. And anyway, so he has it all. All right, so did you plant corn this year at all? Oh, you get your corn elsewhere, don't you? All right, let's pretend that you did plant your corn. All right, now, when you go get the corn at the end of the harvest, they're stalks, right? It's got the little corn coming off of it, the good corn. I've had his corn before. Now, what Paul is trying to say here is this. You don't take the body of the corn to plant it so that it can grow. He says you take a seed, a kernel, that's going to be planted in the ground, and once it dies, then it grows.
Amen.
So he's making the same parallel with us. This body is the kernel, all righty? We have yet to see the body of what's coming from this soul until we get to heaven. All right, are we so far? Look what he says next here, all right? Got your Bible there, verse number 37. He says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a what? Now look at the next statement, as it what? And to every seed his own body. Now, church, can I just tell you something? God has a glorified body for you.
Amen.
My mother has been on 1,000 diets throughout her life. My mom's sitting right here. Am I right, Mom? At least 1,000 diets, wouldn't you say? She's tried it, believe me. Alrighty? I remember one time my mother saying, you know what? If we get to heaven and find out the glorified body is fat, I'm going to be upset. Hey, can I just tell you this? I want to tell you what body you're going to get. I can't tell you for sure it's going to be fat, but I can tell you it's going to please him.
Amen.
All right? Because that's the kind of body we're going to have. All right? Now, church, Paul's going to mention, again, I'm trying to hurry here, but he's going to mention several different types of bodies for different things as illustration. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of what? I circled men in mine. Another flesh of what? Hey, can I hit my hobby horse real quick? Thank you. You are not an animal.
Amen.
I'm so sick and tired of the public school teaching our kids that they're a mammal. Church, can I just tell you, there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beast.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you why it's different, because man has a soul. Beast does not. And I don't care what kind of science they want to try to convince our kids that they're animals. That's why they're acting like animals, because they're convinced that they are an animal. We're not animals. Alrighty? So God separates the different. He says men. In that same verse, he uses the word beast. In the same verse, he used the word fishes. I circled all of them. I don't know if you do or not. Another one, I circled the word birds. And then he's going to go to a different type. He says there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. In verse 41, he's going to talk about the sun. I circled the word sun. He's going to talk about the moon. I circled the word moon. He's going to talk about the stars. He says God gave them that body. God created the sun, the moon, stars. Look at verse 42. So also is the what? All right. So God gave us this human body. He gave fish their body, birds their body. He gave the sun its body. He gave the moon its body. He gave the stars its body. So it is at the resurrection, God will give us our body. So what is your body going to be like? Well, he's going to mention four things here. First one is in verse number 42. He goes on to say, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. And it is raised in what? I underlined in my Bible. I'm not telling you to do these things, but I'm just trying to point out the key words. Incorruption. All righty. Now, church family, can I just tell you, the body you have right now, the kernel that you're walking around in, is corrupt. And by the way, it's corrupt in more ways than just one. It's corrupt both physically and spiritually. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sin. We're corrupt. We're corrupt mentally. We're corrupt spiritually. We're corrupt physically. Isn't it interesting that the day you're born, your body begins to die? All right, we're corrupt, all right? So God says your new body is going to be incorrupt. Look at verse 43, something else. It is sown, the body you have now, is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what?
Glory.
All right. Now, I don't know what that glory is going to be. I don't know if you're going to have muscles popping off all over your body. I don't know, you know, if you're going to be the perfect specimen. You're going to have blonde hair and blue eyes. I don't know if you're going to have green hair and purple eyes. But whatever it is, God says this body is going to be glory, have glory to it. Look what else he says. He says, it is sown in weakness, but it'll be raised in what? Now, I'm looking forward to that one. You know, the Bible says that when we see Jesus, that we are going to be as he was. And I look at Jesus' resurrected body. He's walking through walls.
Amen.
I mean, he's just showing up. He's flying. You talk about the Superman. Man, I'll tell you what, we're going to just have, that's the kind of body we're going to have. And by the way, I believe that once we get that body, we're going to have it forever. So when the millennial reign of Christ is taking place and all those people that are on earth are ushered into the millennium with their physical body, they're going to see us who are going to be supernatural, because we are going to have a powerful body, a glory body, an incorrupt body. Look what else he says here in verse 44. It is sown in a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. And then he's going to describe the spiritual and natural parts through the end of here. But I want to point out verse 49, because I'm running out of time. Verse 49 says this, and as we have borne, I'm going to back up, verse 48. And as is the earthy, talking about your natural body, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, that's your glorified body, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy. Now, church family, I don't know about you. I was looking at Clayson this morning. My wife was holding, is Adrian in here this morning? Okay, just make sure. If I'm going to talk about you, I'd like to know who I'm talking about. Your son has the wildest hair, dude, I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just his hair all over the place, really long. Well, you said that he needs to wear a button. What was the button?
Ben needs to wear a button. He stole my
hair. Ben needs to wear a button. He stole my hair. All righty? I mean, he's just got hair. Just hair. All right? Now, Clayson bears the image of the earthy, or the image of his parents. I mean, you look at Adrian and you look at Ben, there's definitely, you know, some things, except for the hair, there are some things that Clayson has gotten from his parents. He bears the image of the earthy. But look what he says next in that verse there. He says in verse 49, we shall also bear the image of the what? Children, we were made the image of God. We are going to bear his image in our glorified body. Now, I don't know what you said, Pastor.
Amen.
You're excited about that, aren't you?
Oh, I love it.
Could be today.
But praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 I hope it's the rapture, though.
I mean, it's great.
Amen. Are you all happy? He's happy.
Amen.
Amen. He's ready to go. You ready to go?
No.
No? Okay.
happy to serve him. win people to Christ here in heaven, it's already, we don't have that opportunity.
That's
our privilege.
Amen.
And an honor.
Amen.
And we don't know the half of it.
That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. Would you like to finish the lesson? I'm going to sit down. Amen. He's right. Amen. Now, just let me think about it. I know that I cannot give you the picture of what you're going to look like, but it's going to be as he pleases. And it's not going to be weak. It's going to be with honor. It's going to be with glory. It's going to be spiritual. It's going to be at the image of the Father. And one day, that's the kind of body we're going to have. Why? Because we're going to be resurrected. All righty? Last of all, here's the last thing I want you to see this morning, is the promise of the resurrection. Verse 51 through verse 58, actually 57. But verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. Sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." I was talking with David on the way in this morning, David McCray, and we were talking, just chatting, and talking about how God has always been.
Amen.
Nobody created him. And we were talking, and he's the one that said it. The reason we can't understand that is because we're mortal and he's immortal.
Amen.
But you're saying one day we are going to be like that. We're going to be immortal, all right? So can I just tell you the promise, he's coming back. And the resurrection is going to take place. And if we live long enough, or God tarries his coming, that we die, our funerals are not like everybody else's funeral. Because we are going to see them again. And they're not going to just stay in the grave. Their body's going to reunite with their soul, because their soul is immediately going to go to heaven. Their physical body, the dead in Christ shall rise first, will reunite with their soul, and they will get a glorified body as pleases him that will be for eternity. All right? So Paul's trying to say that. Church, I mean, all of this, I'm almost done. All of this about the resurrection comes down to the last verse. Verse 58, what's the first word? Okay, I know there's people in your church that are saying there's no resurrection, but if there's no resurrection, Christ didn't rise from the dead. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, your faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain, we're false witnesses for Christ, and everybody that's died before us that claimed Christ, they've perished. But I want to tell you that's not true.
Amen.
Paul's writing this. He says, I want to tell you that's not true. Christ did rise from the dead. And we are going to rise from the dead because Christ is the first fruits, and we are to come or to follow after. Like the kernel is put into the ground and a stalk of corn comes up. There's a body of that corn that's coming up, and there's a body like we're going to get. It's called our glorified body when we are resurrected. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I'm sorry, My father's favorite verse is this one. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
You know why we do what we do? I got a new body coming. You know why we can do what we do? Because I'm going to meet him in the air. 1 Corinthians 15 is a wonderful chapter.
Yes.
But he's writing this to skeptics, to people that were in the church that didn't believe in a resurrection.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how you feel or what you believe, but I believe the book. And I want to tell you, on this Resurrection Sunday, it's not just Easter. On this Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week that Christ rose from the dead, it's another remembrance that I will also resurrect because I'm saved. And I will meet him in the air and I will get a new body.
Praise God.
Listen, nobody can scare you into salvation, but I don't know how you can sit through a Sunday school lesson knowing from the scripture that one day we're going to meet Christ in the air for those who believe the gospel and not believe the gospel. But I want to tell you something. He loves every person here, and you're not saved because you've always known, and you're not saved because you're good. You're only saved because Jesus Christ died for you, and you believe that, and you asked him to be your Savior. I hope you're saved this morning.
Amen.
I hope that you know that you know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's how you know. You don't go to heaven because you wear a suit or a leather jacket. You go to heaven because you put your faith and trust in Christ.
Amen.
I hope you're saved this morning. That's the most important thing. Happy Easter.